bad stroke. I don't think it's good for any woman to live alone. In fact, I've told my wife back when the kids were small, and I don't know how we, I didn't really talk about it any time, but I said, if anything ever happened to me, I'd say, why don't you go live with Brett? You know, see if he would be willing for that. At very least, move real close, because, you know, it just is protection, and it's helpful, and the world's a vile place, so it's a good thing. Anyway, so they had charge of this girl, and it says that my brothers were angry with me. Well, they were angry because they're frustrated, man. I want to deal with life. I got to take care of this kid sister, and she's young. She's it's a hard word, pubescent. She's young. She's before her puberty, and they're thinking we got to take care of her. So they gave her a vineyard, and they said, if you become a wall, then we'll give you great riches, and if you become a door, rain on you. And that's saying, if you become a loose woman, a door, opening yourself up to any guy that comes along, you're on your own. But if you become a wall, then you'll get great riches. And she says, I've been a wall. She says, I've been a virtuous woman. So it's a cool book, okay? It's all about this. And she's looking at herself. She sees in verse 5, she's black, but comely. So she's not proud. Certainly her hard work has helped her not be proud, but she also has got a level head. I'm pretty. I'm a pretty girl. I'm pretty. I'm beautiful. These other girls think I'm pretty. I'm pretty. And then in verse 6, it says, look not upon me because I'm black. She's thinking, I can't let him see me. What can I do? And it says, the son has looked at her. My mother's children were angry with me. There's that passage that deals with what she's talking about. And they made me a keeper in the vineyards. But mine own vineyard have I not kept. She says, I haven't been taking care of myself. Now, ladies, I would encourage you to underline the words, my own vineyard I have not kept. Just because of the future, when you're reading this book, to remind you as a little heads up, hey, I mean, maybe I'm married now, whatever. But that's a good word to remember. God wants you to keep your own vineyard. He wants you to look nice. He made you pretty to be looking nice. You say, well, I'm not that pretty. It doesn't matter about that. You have a sensitivity, a softness. God made your eyes a certain way. He gave you a certain kind of skin. Make the most of what you got. That's what God wants you to do, okay? It's not a time to lay down just because everybody's doing it, all right? You are not on call for everybody else. You're on call for who? God, okay? So you do what God would have you do in that regard. This is the Song of Songs. Verse 7 says, tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest. Now, she's gone from personal consideration to common ground. She actually traffics in circles he traffics in. Now, this is good because, you know, the people who try to have long distance, really, that's kind of hard. You know, we know that. And so, you know, she's looking at who's around, who's available. And if you're having a hard time finding a mate, maybe you need to change the fishing hole. Okay? So, common ground's not bad. Not just common ground in that they traffic in the same areas, but also common ground in that they have things in common. They both evidently like to be outdoors. She keeps a garden. He keeps a flock. They have things in common. And she's thinking, you know, maybe even has passed him a note. Remember notes? Anybody still got notes? I want to see a hand. I got a couple people. Got notes. Still got notes. Hopefully they're with the guy you're with. You know? But the thing is, she's going to tell me where you feed your flock in verse 7. He says, when thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Tell me where that's at. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? In other words, she's saying, don't make me go wandering and wondering where you are. Kind of give me an idea where you're going to be hanging out. So there's a little game going on here. It's kind of cute. It's footsy. It's a little bit reluctant and yet not. You know, it's all there. And she reminds, and then he answers her. And in verse 8 it says, if thou know not, he's talking now, O thou fairest among women. You see, there is a way to find your way through here if you just watch the pronouns and read thoughtfully. He says, go thy way by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. Evidently in her garden she had some goats too, but it says, go thy way by the footsteps of the flock. In other words, there was a well-trodden path. You can see it, right? They always go the same way. Anybody have a deer trail in their land or that you know of? Anybody? Anybody? Deer trail? You seen them? Yeah, you seen them. You probably hunt, so you're not looking for Bambi. No, he doesn't hunt. We know what it's like to go in the woods and find a trail. Don't ever follow one of them, by the way, in the woods unless you know where it goes, because you will get lost. Deer don't know where they're going. That's why they get hit and they lay on the road. Okay, they don't know where they're going, so don't follow them. That's just a little extra. All right. So the footsteps, by the footsteps, he says, you know that path down by the meadow? That's what he's saying. They know. This is common ground. You know that path? Look at the next lines. He says, And go there and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. I like that because he's saying, if you love me, let me know, check yes or no, you know, kind of thing. Remember the song, country song? You know, this is kind of way sex is saying, you know, if you really love me, be there at this time. And she shows up. She does. She makes it a point. She's got common ground. And then next thing you see is that they're very complimentary. This is something we forget. Just like not dressing up, we forget to compliment one another. We don't have a whole lot of truth in this society. Now I want all of us to lean in because this is a little general, okay? Say thank you. And say please. And the fact is if you have a hard time saying thank you and saying please, you need to do it even more because you need to crucify your pride. Don't you think it, doesn't it just beautify the world when people are nice? Just be nice. Be kind, be humble, and be complimentary to people. Somebody make a nice meal, you reciprocate. You say, this was very nice. You let them know. If somebody does something nice for you, you let them know. Because this world in which we live is a very harsh place, and all we got is each other. And you can either be a thorn in that world or you can be a flower. And so we have a choice, don't we? And I've had some great, great experiences through my life. I remember when I'll tell you one, where I was at a school, and I had no really upbringing in which where the knives go and the forks go, and they sent me to this banquet. Actually, they didn't send me. I asked a girl, and I was cool, and I had my cool on, and I said, will you go with me? And she said, yes, of course, you know. And so there we were. We're sitting at this banquet. Now, she didn't know what she was getting into, because I had a tie on and a dress coat, and I looked pretty good. In fact, I still have the picture. Because I don't look like that anymore. But I look pretty good. She thought it would be a good bet. I mean, this Christian pastor, major, you know, he's a good guy. We'll go with him. So she went with me, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, what are all these forks going here? Now, how many have been in this case? Anybody else? There's one. Amen. We all have an invitation. Anybody else? You know, we've been there. What is this? But they sat me down. Right, they sat me by a captain in the Marine Corps who had gotten out, and he was stiff as a nail. I mean, this guy's like, whoa, who's this clown sitting next to me? Well, it didn't take long before I got a clue and somebody straightened me out. But I was gregarious and laughing it off, but I realized how unrefined I was. We don't get refinement, but we need to cultivate it. Can I get a witness? Sometimes I need to say, sorry, please, thank you. Pass this, please, thank you. You can't say it enough. It is music to the ear. The Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Part of ministering grace is showing people how to be kind, what it looks like to be, you know, courteous. So that's part of what you need to cultivate. Well, they are complimentary. If you look down in verse 8, it says, if thou knowest not, and he tells her where to meet him. Verse 9 says, I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses. You look like a horse! No, that's not what he's saying. A company of horses in verse 9, in Pharaoh's chariot, meaning you are awesome. If you've ever seen, and we are in a day where it's not something you have to conjure for your imagination, you've seen perhaps movies where horses are coming over a hillside, it's like trampling and the ground is shaking. Well, that's how he feels about it. I have compared you to that. You are awesome. You take my breath away. Just like you would be if you were standing there thinking, I got to fight that. Do you know most guys feel that way about the girl? I'll tell you what, don't let him off the hook. You do not call him. Don't call him. Do not let him off the hook. If he can't come across that line, leave him over there. It's like throwing back the little ones. Amen? Don't settle because it's your happiness that's at stake. He says, I've compared you to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariot. You blow me away. You take my breath away. The next verse says, thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels and the neck with gold, a chains of gold. He's saying, you're so beautiful, man. Just look how beautiful you are. Comely means beautiful. You're just beautiful. And that's all he can say. You know, it's funny because he's going to get in chapter 2, he says, thou art fair, my love. Oh, thou art fair. He can't say it enough. Thou art fair. I don't know what else to say, but man, you're fair. Woo! You're fair. You know, that's why women are called woman. first time Adam saw Eve, he said, "Whoa, man!" You know, that's what that came from. All right, so now you know. Original Hebrew going on.